Okay, topic number two.
Okay. For-profit firms that provide cost-saving tips and support to district special education programs like Futures Education are starting to pop up. What are the promises and pitfalls of programs such as these?
Well, I am excited about this. I've been trying to talk to people about and ask questions. You know, why haven't we seen more companies in the sort of unbundling, customized schooling realm that go after the special ed services piece? You know, Rick, you've argued for a long time that we think about these whole school providers, the KIPPs or the Achievement First, that try to do the whole picture. But where it's really exciting is get these groups that can come in and really tackle one tough problem at a time. Special ed, huge challenge, also huge cost driver. And so to be able to say to a company, hey, you know, if you can come in and help us find efficiencies, you will get some of that back. And so there's a real motive for you to do so. Seems very promising. And so there was a great EdWeek article about this place, Futures. There's a couple other firms we know about also up in Massachusetts, where this is one of the highest spending states on special ed. Seems like this has a lot of promise. But here's a question, Rick. How do you make sure that you don't have shady operators coming in who try to make money by just basically denying special ed kids services? I mean, how do you get the incentives right?
Yeah, I mean, this is right the exact same thing we saw with like HMOs, right? When we tried, right? How do you actually make sure that you, and this is the problem with, right, the whole Medicare reform debate, is, look, at the end of the day, probably a bunch of kids are being identified who shouldn't be identified.
Mm-hmm. Or getting services they don't really need.
That they don't really need. And we say on the one hand, well, that's it's a waste of money. And B, it's actually labeling and marginalizing these kids in a way that's probably not helpful. Mm-hmm. But as soon as somebody starts to deny a point of service, then you get parents who start to raise a fuss and even, you know, take legal action, mm-hmm. saying their kid's been denied.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no good answers. And the reality, of course, is that if you're bringing for-profit providers to do this, they actually, right, districts are going to tend to be accommodating, just because their incentives encourage them to like want to minimize the amount of fuss and trouble. Mm-hmm. So when push comes to shove, often districts will be like, what the hell? We'll take the money out of the general ed population. Mm-hmm. We'll deal with it. And when push comes to shove, for-profit providers actually have incentive to dig in. And we tend not to make a fuss when districts give in. And we tend to make a fuss when for-profit providers dig in. Mm-hmm. And until we start to get more serious and mature about it, that's just going to be the dynamic.
And the thing that these providers have that traditional districts don't is that it's easier for them to do flexible scheduling, you know, so in fact, flexible staffing. I mean, they can figure out in a given time how many speech therapists they need, for example. And so, you know, and those people don't have to be unionized and they can be, you know, kind of private contractors. So whereas a school district might say, well, we've got 10 speech therapists on staff and therefore we're going to try to keep them busy because we're paying for them. You know, these private contractors might say, look, we don't need as much speech therapy as we're giving out right now. Or, you know, this kid, you know, we're giving it to them because we don't have anything else for Mrs. Smith to do. They can recoup some of those savings.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing is you look at a place like DCPS with all the private school outplacement because you can't serve. I mean, if you're looking at paying 50 or 75 grand or more, you know, for some of these outplacements.
To private schools.
You know, actually, right, if you can actually bring in heavy lifting capacity to handle this stuff, even for 20, 30 grand, mm-hmm. the district's way ahead.
Yeah.
But if you actually then try to pay these folks on that comp rather than the traditional special ed, then there's going to be a fuss with the board and internally. So part of this is trying to figure out what are the right kind of cost and performance metrics. Mm-hmm. And most districts just don't have those kinds of, you know, aren't even on step one of that.